All right. Everything you've heard so far today is about the sun. And that's for a reason. I title my message, The Sun, Not the Shadows. Now, I'm going to do my best. I don't want to go on a rant today, okay? But the more that I have been in our scripture that we've been in, the more over 50 years of ministry and a long time living in this world, I've gotten sick and tired of false gospel, false prophets, false teachers, and I'm tired of the people that follow them. There's a lot said in the Word of God about false teachers. But as I read through 2 Peter, as I read through Galatians, as I read in our scripture today in Colossians, nothing is said about people who follow the lies and the garbage they spit out. I went online and just put in evangelist and airplanes. And I got a huge list. You see, the false gospel is all about money and power. They are actually vessels in the hand of Satan to deceive. And we have welcomed in our home. Do you know why I know that? For every billionaire and millionaire false teacher that's throwing their books out and getting on TV and speaking, somebody's buying them. Now, you see, I've been one of these weird Christians for a long time. If you want to say amen, you can do that. See, I have never been for censorship. I have people, what about pornography, preacher? Well, I've got an answer. If nobody buys it, they won't print it. And then there's this warning. There was a little guy with a funny mustache arose in Germany, and he was against pornography. And so they gathered all the pornographic material and burned it, and the people yelled, praise God. And the last books that Hitler burnt was the Word of God. You see, you take away the need. It is capitalism. If nobody listens and nobody buys, these people disappear. But as long as they apply or reach the pride and the greed and the power and the I have tried everything else, as long as they can reach into that message, they are going to capture people and take them away. And we need to understand, what is that in? Now, guys in the back, I didn't give you this scripture. I'm going to read it, so don't be looking. I didn't give it to you. I should have. I have to admit, the Lord had this on my mind. I forgot to give it to you. But listen to me. Paul, in writing to the Galatians, he says, I want you to get the tone of Paul. I am astonished. I'm totally surprised that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of God and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach the gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be damned. That's what under God's curse means in the Greek. It is the highest point of damnation. He goes on. And as we've already said, and now we say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be damned. That's how God looks at someone who perverts the gospel. Now, back in the 60s, there was a song that said, you don't tug on Superman's cape. You don't spit in the wind, okay? Let me show you something that's got better advice. Look at our Proverbs for this week. The fear of the sovereign, almighty creator, in authority, Lord, is the beginning of knowledge. Who doesn't like the knowledge of God? Everybody say that word right there. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. The Word of God is about how to escape the judgment of those who have turned against God. And today I am astonished at the people that listen to the unadulterated garbage that these men and women are speaking and printing books about. Because it's not just they who are under God's curse. It's people who follow them. Because there's a danger. You may get somewhere where you can't get back from. And secondly, you may become that false teacher. Now, I don't mean you're going to get a TV program or write a book. I'm talking about telling your neighbor something that is absolutely not right, that will damn them into a devil's hell. We need to share the gospel of Christ. I feel better already. Paul wrote about false teachers. You need to understand this morning that not even saints are to be prayed to. People are deceived every day, and those who deceive lie and say that's not their teaching. But you don't pray to a certain saint. You don't pray to the Virgin Mary to get anything done by God. Do you understand me? Every prayer uttered is in and through the name of Jesus, because He is our Savior. He is our Lord. He is the source of the life that He has provided for us. It's Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But in this Colossian church, as today, there was a lot of junk going on. They were trying to judge people. We're having that today. There's some folks that have reached a higher plane of holiness than other people because they supposedly can do something you don't do, or they have some kind of feeling you haven't had. That, my friends, is garbage. Let no one judge you. In Colossians, the second chapter, verse 16 and 17, says, therefore. Why is it therefore? Because if you look back, we just read and talked about last week about all of the degrees of sin that are against us, nailed to the tree and on the Son, and the forgiveness of sin. Therefore, do not let anyone judge you by what you eat or drink or with regard to a religious festival, a new moon celebration, or a Sabbath day. These are a shadow. Now, I'm going to tell you how smart I am in my philosophy. A shadow of a dog has never bit anyone. Has it? Okay? I mean, that's just as foolish as worrying about a shadow of a dog gonna bite you, is worrying about these shadows of the things that were to come. The reality, however, is found in Christ. Now, let's go for this. Matthew 12:40 says this, as Jonah was 3 days and three nights in the belly of a huge fish, so the Son of Man will be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. Jonah was a shadow of the Christ to come and His finished work. John 3:14 and 15. just as Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, refresh your memory, because of their disobedience, God brought vipers into the people that were in the desert, and they were biting and killing people. And God said, okay, here's how you remedy that. You make a bronze snake, and you hold him up, and everyone that looks on that snake will live. I already know what to say anyway, but it'll help me to know when to stop. Moses lifted up the snake in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. This is a shadow of Christ and the cross, but it is not the cross. John 6, 32 and 35. That everyone, Jesus said to them, verily, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who is giving you bread from heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread from heaven. Right after that, the people say, give us this bread. And Jesus says, I am the bread of life. The shadow of the reality. 1 Corinthians 5:7. Get rid of the old yeast so that you may become a new unleavened batch as you are. For Christ, our Passover lamb, has been sacrificed. We talked about last week, the Passover lamb, once a year. That priest would put his hands on, signifying the sin, his sins, the sins of the people, transferred to the lamb and the slaying of the lamb. Passover lamb is not our Savior. It's the shadow of Jesus to come. Hebrews 10:19-20. Therefore, brothers and sisters, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, open for us through the curtain that is his body. There was a heavy curtain. Only the priest could go into the Holy of Holies, and then only once a year. But when Christ died on the cross, from top to bottom, it was torn, and access for everyone to Jesus Christ was made. The curtain was not the Christ. Jesus was the Christ. All of these are true shadows. But I want to tell you this morning, you don't worship a shadow. You worship the Son. You got that? That's the gospel of Jesus Christ. Secondly, let no one disqualify you for your reward. Colossians 2, the next two verses, 18 and 19. Do not let anyone who delights in false humility and worship of angels disqualify you. Let me set the stand. These people were saying, I have heard a message from the angels. We have a present day acknowledgement of that. There's a whole religious sect that is based on the fact that one day an angel named Moroni, which rhymes suspiciously with baloney, gave Joseph Smith some golden glasses to read some secret script, and all of a sudden, a religion was born. See, that's how they do it. You see, our reward, if you want to call it that, our blessing is when we worship God, we go into the presence of God. Psalm 73, if y'all watched Coffee with Pastors last week, Joe and I was talking about this, one of our favorite psalms. The psalmist said, my feet almost slipped when I saw how people were prospering. My feet almost slipped, meaning I almost gave in to trying to prosper. I almost gave in to aggravation. Then the psalmist said, I went into the presence of the Lord and I got a different viewpoint. How do you stay away from the garbage and quit spending money for the garbage that's being printed that somehow will help you see things and do things that other people don't do? You go into the presence of the real. You go into the presence of Almighty God. There is a peace. There is an understanding that there is nothing in this world that is going to touch you. We'll go through many trials and tribulations, sorrows and errors, but we go through them. We are more than conquerors for them through Jesus Christ our Lord. Don't let somebody steal your reward. Paul had in mind Eastern mysticism. It's a belief that a person can immediately experience the spiritual world completely apart from the Word of God. Let me tell you something, I might make somebody mad. Any of you folks out there that are sitting in a gym meditating your belly button and trying to clear your mind and going, oh, you think that's an exercise to lose weight. That's an opening for Satan to throw every type of thought that he can and he will into your mind. You never empty your mind. Your mind should always be filled with the Word. Paul said this in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, for such people are false apostles. They are deceitful workers. They are masquerading as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for Satan himself masquerades as an angel of light. They are their father's children, just as Jesus said. And a false teacher, no matter what they look like or what they write, are masquerading just like Satan, who is an author of light. And yet, they prosper. And they prosper because people buy their books and listen to their message. Why? Because of greed. Because of a promise. You'll be healed. Listen, you know, when I traveled at night, I had three sons. And here was my secret to happy traveling. We got up after packing the car at 11 o'clock at night, put sleeping boys in the back seat, and then I drove to my destination. Now, to keep me awake, I like to listen to these guys that were offering a $5 blessing. $10 miracle cloth, $15 miracle water, and $25 miracle oil. Now, I've been accused of mockery, but anybody that liked to buy this sweaty shirt that will surely open your nostrils, I'll be glad to give it to you for $50, okay? And you just see how good that gets you. I am making fun, because the serious part of this is people are believing something that is not the gospel. It is added to something. And the answer always falls on you. It didn't happen because your faith was not strong enough. I have ministered to crying people. I've ministered to people who have given away thousands of dollars, been brokenhearted and turned bitter against Jesus and the church because of false teachers. I pray for them, but I have no love for them. Listen, just like you've heard Pastor Joe say week after week, don't go home and say, wow, wasn't that good? You open this book and see if I have rightly divided the word of truth. You know, I just told Ron back there, the vision came to me. Sometimes in the church, it reminds me of a bird nest with baby birds. We come to church on Sunday and we do this. And we want somebody to drop some food in. And then we go home and wonder why we don't get through the week until we can get back sit in the church. The Bible was put in the hands of people to read and devour and to become what the sacred pages of Scripture says. Don't let anyone enslave you. Verses 20, 23. Since you died with Christ, and that's what you did. Baptism is just not getting wet. Baptism is a witness. This has happened to me through the Spirit of God. I am dead. I am buried with Christ. But like the song said, ain't no grave gonna hold me down. Amen? You've been died with Christ to the elemental spiritual forces of this world. Understand something. You remember when before you were with Christ, you had no defense mechanism against temptation. The things you did, you liked, and you did them again. And you were a slave to those because Satan would yank your cord, and you automatically did it. Y'all remember Pavlov's dog? Okay, I'll tell you about him. Pavlov had a dog. Pavlov was one of those psychologists. You know how you can tell a psychologist? They walk about this far off the ground. Anyway, he would ring a bell and feed the dog. Ring the bell and feed the dog. And after a while, he could ring the bell and the dog would look for food. That's exactly what my life and your life was like before we came to Christ, because we died from the elemental spiritual forces of this world. We have been set free from Satan. He does not own us. He cannot make us. We've been set free. And we have given the Word of God to gain wisdom. And if you need more, James said, if anyone lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who will give freely and abundantly. Why do people fall for this stuff? Why do people fall? I heard the other day of a person that was called. It was their bank. She was overdrawn $10,000. This lady was wealthy. She had that much in her savings account. So she gave all the information to a stranger on the phone in order to save her reputation. And now she's broke. You don't have to stumble in this world spiritually or physically to be enslaved by the forces of evil. Asking for wisdom, from which knowledge and understanding comes, and reading the wisdom book will tell you how to survive this world. Well, what about these false teachers? And I have added, and their followers. Okay? 2 Peter, chapter 2. I urge you to read the whole chapter. I'm going to start at verse 17. These people, false teachers, are springs without water. This is a reference to being in the desert, being thirsty, dying of thirst, and have a mirage of a spring. And when you get there, there's nothing. Simply stating, these people have nothing to offer. Not only that, and mist driven by a storm. That's like you all have watched the storms form in the Atlantic. Everything turns black, and it comes over us. We're all afraid, and about three drops of water goes bing, bing. They have nothing to offer. You know how you know they're lying? When they open their mouth. Driven by a storm. Well, go ahead. Blackest darkness is reserved for them. Let me tell you, there is no electricity in hell. A part of in hell, being in hell, is darkness that you cannot comprehend. Darkness that will drive you insane if it were possible, but no one in hell will ever be driven insane because that would depart them from the punishment that they live in every single day. Outer darkness, you can't see anything. Okay? For they mouth empty, boastful words. And here's how they sell their stuff: by appealing to the lustful desires of the flesh. I'm going to get this healing. I'm going to give $10 and get $100. So if I borrow you $1,000 and give that, I'll get $10,000. Lustful desires of the flesh. Because the Bible has said, He, God, will supply all, A-L-L, of our needs according to His riches and glory through Christ Jesus our Lord. But He hits the lustful flesh. They entice people who are just escaping from those who live in error. One of the things we fail in many times at a church is embracing young Christians. Young Christians come to Christ. They're new creations. Their old friends think they're weird and have nothing to do with them. And new Christians have already got their encampment of my friends and my seat in the church. And so this person comes out of the world into Christ and is walking by himself. That's a sin. We are leaving people open who are weak and just learning how to operate in this life of Christ. And we're leaving them alone instead of being that encouragement. Okay? They promise them freedom while they themselves are slaves of depravity. I can name this guy's name, but I won't. All you got to do is look in his eyes. And you know the devil lives there because he's taken over his body. That is the false teachers. They only can do what they do because of who they are. They are in captivity, and through Satan, they want you in captivity, and so they entice you with the base things you have turned away from. For people are slaves to what? Whatever has mastered them. Good question. What has mastered you? What has complete control over you? What rings a bell and you react? You need to understand. There's only one safe place. And that is to be controlled. And I don't mean that in a negative way. But I mean through the influence of the gospel of Jesus Christ and the presence of the Holy Spirit, our lives are controlled by God. He's the only one who would give his son in order that a falling flesh can be made new and have hope in this life. False teachers, they don't tell you that. All right. If they have escaped the corruption of this world by knowing, okay, this is one of the hardest pieces of scripture I know of. If they, who is that? They, what we just read, those who have escaped the corruption of this world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm going to be honest. I have looked this up today. The base of that Greek word, and I'm no expert in Greek, okay? You know what an expert is? It's a has-been drip. Think about it. When you get home, you'll get it. This says the base word means that you experientially know. But yet the word that is used, knowing, means an acknowledgement. So the question is this: true believers who have been taken captive by these, or is this people who have never believed? Well, I don't know. But I know this: it doesn't really matter. Because let's finish that. If they have escaped the corruption of this world by knowing our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ and are again entangled in it and are overcome, they are worse off at the end than they were at the beginning. It would have been better for them not to know the way of righteousness than to have known it and to turn their backs on the sacred command that was passed on to them. This is a woe, without them saying woe. This is a danger sign. Do you remember when it says people are captured by the things that have captured them? What is it in your life that you are after? What is the goal of your life? I can tell you biblically God's will for your life and my life. I can tell you biblically exactly what God has set before us. He has said that we are to live each day with clean hands and a pure heart, which simply means there is not sin in our life that we have not committed to God for forgiveness and cleansing. It's an alarm that goes off. We want nothing to come between us and Lord. And secondly, we are to glorify God with our life, with our thoughts, with the things that we do. We're to glorify God. It's not to make the most money, not to have the most toys. It's not to go to church more than anybody else. It's to glorify God in everything that you do. That is the very baseline of your life. When you get up in the morning, we don't know what's going to face us, but we do know we want to glorify God. That's His will. And if that is our aim and if that is our purpose, we have a sovereign Lord God who will bring it to pass in our life. If not, be careful. Because the worst state, last state, will be worse than you ever thought. I apologize if I have hollered too much. I don't want to take away from the gospel. But listen to me. I have ministered to people. I myself have gotten down and had to realize I've been fooled. And a lot of people don't recover from being fooled. I want you to live the abundant life that Jesus Christ died and rose again for you to have. I want you to know the joy of going through the storms of life, knowing whose hands you're in and how strong you're going to be when you come out. I do not want you taken for a fool by people who simply want to hold you in captivity, who want to remove your reward from you, and want to control your life. Jesus directs our life, and there's a big difference. Fathers, we come to you today. I hope, Lord, I've rightly divided your truth and I've not been a distraction to the word. I'm not sorry. I'm angry at what I see go on. God's got to break your heart. I pray by your Spirit of God that today, Lord, may each one of us open our heart. Where are we? Have we fallen prey? Have we been fooled? Are we in captivity again? Jesus Christ will break those bonds. And most importantly, do we have an experiential relationship with Jesus Christ? Because who is it that overcomes the world but those who have experience with Jesus? Lord, draw to you today and give people the boldness to come, pray. We have people here waiting on them. Father, if there's something private they want, lead them into the room three. This is a day. This is a day of decision. And I pray, God, your word was fulfilled, that it will accomplish in our lives what it set out to accomplish. In Jesus' name, amen.